In his profound Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Overstory, Richard Powers writes, "This is not our world with trees in it. It's a world of trees where humans have just arrived." It's a remarkable book. If you haven't read it, came out a few years ago. The Pulitzer Prize was 2019. I highly recommend it, The Overstory. Amy and I got a clear view of that truth during our recent trip last month to San Francisco, walking among giant redwoods for the first time. It was a profoundly moving experience for both of us. I know a good number of you have lived in or near or have visited San Francisco in that area, that part of the country, or maybe have experienced something similarly grand and know what that feels like. We didn't see the tallest redwoods, but they were still way, way taller than anything we had ever seen before. It felt ancient. That's the word we kept using. It felt ancient to stand in their collective presence. It was Powers's, the author of The Overstory, his own experience seeing a giant redwood for the very first time that inspired him to write the book. It was an experience he described as a religious conversion that showed him his place in a, quote, a system of meaning that doesn't begin and end with humans. Trees are the protagonists in the novel. It follows and eventually brings together 9 human characters spread around the country whose close relationship with particular trees moves them to a deeper appreciation for that truth, and in most cases leads them to activism for ecological justice. That's how the story unfolds. Activists confronting the global corporate practice of mass deforestation that contributes so dramatically to climate change. Climate change that, it so happens, has fueled severe heat and drought and increased the likelihood of wildfires. And wildfires, as you know, that at this very moment, today, as we gather for worship, are continuing to rage in California and elsewhere, threatening, among others, sequoia groves containing some of the oldest and largest trees on the planet, some of them more than 3,000 years old. Wildfires have already consumed more than 2 million acres in California alone just this year, and it's estimated that 2/3 of the giant sequoia grove acreage across the Sierra Nevada has burned since 2015. 2/3 since 2015. Our relationship with trees is tragically one-sided, and increasingly so. We all know, at least to some extent, what trees do, right? What they contribute to the well-being of our collective ecosystem, both above and below ground. Among many other things, let me just name a few. They provide oxygen, right? Through photosynthesis, just 1 acre of forest absorbs 6 tons of carbon dioxide and puts out 4 tons of oxygen, enough to meet the annual breathing needs of 18 people. Just about everybody gathered in this room, 1 acre of forest for a year is enough oxygen for us to breathe. They control climate with leaves that provide shade and absorb and filter the sun's energy, keeping things cooler, right, in the summer, by maintaining lower levels of carbon dioxide and so reducing the heat intensity of the greenhouse effect. They improve air quality by filtering air, removing dust and other pollutants like carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, and nitrogen dioxide. They preserve soil with far-reaching roots that absorb and store rainwater, reducing runoff, preventing erosion, preventing flooding. They provide home to countless species of insects and animals, not to mention human beings. They provide food to countless species of insects and animals, including us. The Buddha once reflected that a tree is a wondrous thing that shelters, feeds, and protects all living things. It even offers shade to the axemen who destroy it. Trees give us a lot, and trees have a lot to teach us. Trees are the protagonist of our collective story. And trees, I would argue, are the protagonist in our text this morning from the Psalms that Carl just read for us. Those who delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on God's law day and night, are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. This is a metaphor spelled out similarly by the prophet Jeremiah. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. We need trees. And we have a lot to learn from trees. So looking at this psalm, this very first psalm, I don't want to focus this morning on what it means for us to delight in the law of God as the text describes it, or to put our trust in God as Jeremiah describes it. I simply want us to sit with the metaphor, to sit with the image of a tree in your mind, and to consider, to really consider what it means to be like a tree. What it might mean and what it might actually look like in our lives to be so deeply, deeply rooted and connected, to live our lives from the ground up and the ground out. What it might mean and what it might actually look like in our lives to slow down and to find the quiet center as we sang our way into worship this morning, to let things be. This is the question Mary Oliver considers in one of her poems. When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines, they give off such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I'm so distant from the hope of myself in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches, and they call again. "It's simple," they say, "and you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine." I want us to consider this morning what it might mean, what it might actually look like to help absorb our collective waste and turn it into something profoundly life-giving. What it might mean and what it might actually look like in our lives to help hold together the common ground that helps keep us in touch with the common good, that keeps us from eroding into fear, poverty, division, violence. And what it might mean and what it might actually look like in our lives to branch out beyond ourselves, way beyond ourselves, with leaves that don't wither, to bear fruit, to be doers of the word, as we considered a few weeks ago in the letter of James, and not just hearers, to provide shade for others, to cool the heat they're feeling in whatever form, to help bring the collective temperature down, to provide shelter, sustenance, so that everyone has what they need and everything has what they need. As would-be, sometimes followers of Jesus, pursuing in fits and starts the narrow, ambitious way of divine love, we are called to be like Jesus. And the psalmist says, we are called to be like a tree. Stay rooted in God's divine, unending love, as we prayed earlier, so that you might branch out, reach out way beyond yourselves with that same love, to bear the fruit of that same love. Elsewhere in the Overstory, Richard Powers writes, "Love is a tree with branches in forever, with roots in eternity, and a trunk nowhere at all." Branches in forever, roots in eternity, a trunk nowhere at all. That, friends, is the kind of love we're after. Love like a tree's love. Love like God's love. And so to close, I'm going to invite you to sing. To sing about being like trees. Before we get to what's in your bulletin, I'm going to start with a sweet little song from John Gorka called Branching Out. Some of you may be familiar. Inviting you to join, especially on the chorus, which goes like this. I'm going to reach, I'm going to reach, I'm going to reach, reach for the sky. I'm going to reach, I'm going to reach, I'm going to reach till I know why. Right? So to join me on that chorus when it comes around. And then we're going to sing together what is in your bulletin, We Shall Not Be Moved, as we heard Mavis Staples sing earlier. We shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. A song of unknown origin, first sung in the first person, right? I shall not be moved, as a song of faith, but eventually repurposed as a song of solidarity and protest, first with the labor movement and most recognizably and famous with the civil rights movement and the Black struggle for freedom in this country. We shall not be moved. But first, Branching Out from John Gorka. It goes like this. Tree, want to make my home with the birds and the bees and the squirrels. They can count on me when I grow up to be a tree. I'll let the joints get stiff, put my feet in the ground, take the winters off and settle down. Keep my clothes on till they turn brown. When I grow up, I'm gonna settle down. Here's the chorus. And I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, reach for the sky. I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach till I know why. When the spring comes by, I'm gonna get real green. If the dogs come by, I'm gonna get real mean. Windy days I'll bend and lean. When I grow up, I'm gonna get real green. If I should fall in storm or slumber, please don't turn me into lumber. I'd rather be a new evil slugger, swinging for the sea. I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, reach for the sky. I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach till I know why. I gotta hear you now. I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, reach for the sky. I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach till I know why. One more time. I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach. I'm gonna reach.
reach for the sky. I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach till I know why. Reach for the sky.
Sky.
May it be so.